Well, a couple of years ago, I received an email from a member of our church. And in the email, this person expressed that they were struggling concerning some issues regarding prayer. Now, this person is a strong person of prayer. They believe in prayer, but they were struggling with prayer. The person expressed in the email that they had always prayed about everything, but lately they were thinking that maybe they should not. This is what the person wrote. Who am I to think that I have the right to ask God for anything? God has his plan, and he is sovereign, and he is going to do what he is going to do. When I pray, some of my prayers are answered, and some are not. When my prayers are answered, was it just because it was God's plan all along, and I just was asking for the right miracle at the right time? God has his plan, and who am I to think that I can change his mind? Maybe my prayers should be more listening for God to speak, asking for his guidance, asking for forgiveness and thanking him, rather than intercession and supplication. This is what my mind is struggling with. Maybe I should listen more and ask less. Have you ever struggled with issues of prayer like that? Should we ask for things in prayer? Do our prayers really accomplish anything? Can prayers really help other people? I want you to take your Bibles, if you'd open them up, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. We're in a sermon series that I've entitled, With Christ in the School of Prayer. Folks, if there's anyone who knows about prayer, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. While on earth, the Lord Jesus taught a lot about prayer. And he not only in verbal teaching did he teach on prayer, but through his example, he modeled the importance of prayer. He'd often, the Bible says, would slip away to a lonely place and he would commune with his Father. The Bible says that now Jesus is in heaven. And what's he doing in heaven at the right hand of the Father? Do you know what he's doing? He's constantly praying. In fact, the Bible says Jesus right now ever lives to make intercession for us. Aren't you glad? Oh, if nobody's praying for you in the world, if you're a Christian, there's somebody praying for you in heaven. Praise God. Praise God for that. But Jesus knows about prayer. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus teaches again about prayer. You remember, this is part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus. And folks, there are 111 verses in this sermon. And out of those 111 verses, 22 of them, Jesus speaks on prayer. You remember last week, and we're in school, and we're in the school right now. You've gone to school, and every good teacher always gives a little review, right? Last week, we learned a little bit about prayer. We talked about the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. And you remember we learned that prayer is, first of all, focusing on God. It's focusing on His person, on His program, and on His purposes. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You know, prayer is more a focusing on God and the glory of God. You know, prayer is probably the best thing, or one of the best things we can do as Christians for ourselves. But the aim of prayer is not ourselves. The aim of prayer is God and His glory. And once we focus on God and get ourselves in a line with God, then we can ask our petitions to the Lord. We can talk to Him about provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We can talk to Him about pardon. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We can talk to Him about protection. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. But first of all, focus on God. Then, and you remember, prayer is not just selfish. It's not just about praying for myself. It's give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us. You know, it's, we got to remember the body of Christ. It's not selfish, just self-centered. It's focused on God and body-centered. We learned that last week. Well, today in our text, we see again, prayer is an important part of the life of the disciple of Jesus Christ. We want to look at verses 7 through 11. Important teaching. Look at verses 7 through 11 of chapter 7. Look what it says. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Lord, Father, we come before You today and we want to ask You to speak to our hearts today. We want to ask You to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to the truths of Your word. And Lord, we want to ask You to teach us to pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ's teaching on prayer. And the first, what I want to point out is the commands of prayer. The commands of prayer. See verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Three words. Ask, seek, and knock. They are all imperative. Imperatives. That means they are commands of God. Commands to pray. Every one of those is in the present tense. Which means that this could be translated, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Persistence in prayer. As one commentator says, ask, seek, and knock stress the persistence and sincerity required in prayer. Other conditions are required for answered prayer. But here the condition is persistence, which reflects one's commitment to the power and effectiveness of prayer. What Jesus is teaching us here is, first of all, we're to pray. And we're to be persistent in prayer. Never get discouraged and quit praying. Don't quit. Don't quit. Even talked to somebody this morning, said, I'm kind of discouraged, Pastor. I'm discouraged. Don't quit. Don't quit. There's an enemy that would love to have you quit praying. You remember the quote, I think it was from the kneeling Christian, that Satan, he laughs at our toiling. He mocks at our greatest efforts. Even he's not even concerned when we read our Bibles if we don't pray. But when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees, he trembles. He is out to get us to quit praying. So what will he tell us? He'll tell us things like, prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. Prayer is a waste of time. Your prayers don't matter. God's sovereign. He's going to do what he's going to do. So why pray? Why take the effort and pray? Let me answer that. We pray as Christians because God has commanded us to pray. You can put this verse down, 1 Samuel 12, 23, and you might add 24 in there. But those verses, Samuel says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Next verse, I like it, so I'm going to quote it. He says, fear the Lord. Serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. God's done great things for us. But he says, I'm not going to quit praying. Because to quit praying for you, prayerlessness, you know what? It's a sin against the Lord. You know, prayerlessness is a sin. It's a sin of omission. It's something we should do. And when we don't do it, it's disobedience to God. Why pray? Because God commands us, pray. Don't quit praying. Ask, keep asking. Seek, keep seeking. Knock, keep knocking. Yeah, but I don't feel the result. I don't see the, doesn't matter. Keep praying. It's God's word to us today. Don't give up on prayer. Keep praying. The commands of prayer. Number two on your sheet, the elements of prayer. He uses those three words. Ask, seek, and knock. A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance movement, states on these words, he says, the various degrees and forms of prayer are expressed well by these three words. Ask, seek, and knock. So let's look at them. First of all, ask. This speaks of prayers of intercession. Praying specifically about the needs of others. It speaks of supplication, praying specifically for our own needs, the needs of our family. Now, when it says ask, this is not the regular term for prayer. It's the regular term for just making a request, to going up and asking somebody for something. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring your requests to me in prayer. C.H. Spurgeon, commenting on this, says, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. Ask. But if God knows our needs, and he knows the needs of others before we ask, why ask? Doesn't he know our needs? Yes, he does. Why ask? I'm glad you asked. First of all, we're commanded to pray. We're commanded to ask. Second of all, when we pray and ask, it shows our dependence on God. It's a declaration of dependence on God. When we're prayerless, it's a declaration of independence on God. I don't need you, God. But when we pray, we are humbly coming before God and declaring our dependence on him. When we ask, I'll tell you, we ask because prayer is God's ordained means to get needy people in touch with the infinite resources of God. Can we help people in prayer? Yes. That's what Scripture says. So we pray. If we ask because when God answers, if we've asked, we're more likely to give him the praise and honor and glory. And asking also makes us better prepared to receive the answer when it does come. Prayer sometimes changes circumstances. Prayer always changes us. It gets us ready. And sometimes, you know what? God wants to use us as the answer to our prayers, doesn't he? Remember when he told the disciples, he said, pray, the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers out into the harvest field because the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So the disciples said, Lord, send out people. Send out people. Send those laborers out into the harvest field. And guess what God did? He sent them. That's what God does in prayer. It prepares us for the answer. And we pray. Prayer is God's way of getting his will done on earth. Ask. You know, James, what does James say in his epistle? You have not because you ask not. So ask. Bring your petitions and intercessions to the Lord. Seek. In prayer, we are to seek. Who are we to seek? What are we to seek? First and foremost, we are to seek God in prayer. We're to seek God in prayer. The psalmist wrote, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. We seek God. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, evermore. Prayer is seeking the face of God, to gaze on his face. Isaiah cried out, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and the Lord will have mercy on him and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord. You see, prayer is more than just taking our request to him. Seeking is communion with God. Prayer is communion with God. It's going into intimate fellowship with him. Seek God. We're also to seek the kingdom, his purposes. Remember we talked about last week, thy kingdom come? You know, the word here for seek is the same word that's used in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So in prayer, we're seeking the face of God, communion with God, and we're seeking his purposes, his kingdom, his will. We seek. What a privilege it is to seek God in prayer, to spend time in the presence of the living God. What a privilege that is. So seek, keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Knocking implies a desire to be invited in for personal contact. It implies the desire to be in fellowship with God. Also, when I think of knocking, I think of a closed door. And sometimes to get that door open, you gotta knock. You gotta knock. Closed doors. You know, it's not always an indication. A closed door is not always an indication that something is not God's will in your life. I think sometimes God lets doors closed so it will draw us to Him in prayer. It's an invitation to come to Him and knock in prayer. And God, can God open closed doors? Oh my! In fact, He can open doors no man can close. And He can close doors no man can open. But God can open doors. Again, church in Acts chapter 12. They're gathered together on a Wednesday night. And they're praying for Peter. Oh, Lord, he's in jail. Let him out. Get him out of there, Lord. Get him out. Man, did God hear their prayer? And Peter said, I'll tell you, their prayer sent angels from heaven to earth. And the handcuffs and what he was bound fell off. He got up, he walked, and you know what there was there between him and freedom? An iron door. What happened to that iron door? Swung right open. How'd that happen? Through prayer. People were knocking. And that iron door came open. And then Peter was knocking. And they left him outside. Yeah, you can't be Peter. We're praying for him. He's in jail. I'll tell you what. God can open closed doors. That's why the Apostle Paul said what? Pray for me for open doors for the gospel. Pray that there would be openings to share the gospel with Jennifer, with others. Prayer is a knocking. God, open this door. Open this door, Lord. So, the elements, it's asking, it's intercession, it's petition, it's seeking, it's communion with God, it's knocking. And getting closed doors. Now, I say, knock, keep on knocking until God, if God says, don't knock anymore. Because sometimes He will say, no, that door's closed and that's not the way. Keep praying until He says that. Because God can open closed doors. The elements of prayer. Three, I love this. The promises of prayer. The promises of prayer. See verse 8. The little word for. For introduces reasons to pray, but the reasons are based on promises. He says, for everyone who asks receives. Let me add. For everyone who asks what? Receives. Everyone who asks receives. That doesn't say, listen, everyone who asks might receive. Or sometimes receives. It says, for everyone who asks, receives. Everyone. You know what? Prayer is not for the super saints only. And it's not the only the Billy Grahams and the John MacArthurs and the R.C. Sproles and the Beth Moores. Oh, they can pray. They're close with God. Ah! Everyone, whoever, ask. You know what? The moment a person becomes a Christian, they have the privilege of going to God in prayer. This is not just for super saints. This is for all saints. And we're saints. Come on, we are. Yeah, I see. There's St. Mike and there's St. Ivan and there's St. Jim and St. Jim and two St. Jims and St. Les. This is for all of us. Whoever. For everyone. Everyone who asks receives. Now, what does that mean? I don't think it means that we always receive what we ask for. I don't think that means that. Because God can't always give us what we ask for, because sometimes we ask for stuff that wouldn't be good for us. Or things that would harm us or harm others, or things that are contrary to the will of God. In fact, James says what? You have not because you ask not, and you ask and you do not receive. Why?
You ask amiss.
This doesn't mean that God, you know what? Do you always, parents, give your children everything they ask for?
No.
Oh, you terrible people. No, we can't do that. Because sometimes they ask for stuff you can't give them. You just can't. But what this does mean is that Christians who ask, it's the Christians who ask that receive the blessings of God in abundance. This is a promise of God. This is encouragement. You ask and you'll receive. And if he who seeks, what happens there? He who seeks what?
Finds.
He who seeks finds. God says you will seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. I'll be found by you. When we truly seek the Lord and his purposes and his will, he will reveal himself and his plan for us. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. When we seek him, he opens up, folks, we seek him and God opens up his arms to us and says, come, I want to be found by you. I want to show you a picture. Do we have our picture, Jacob? I don't know if you can see those two ladies there. Can we have the lights off? I want lights off so we can, I want you to see these. You know who those are? They're my grandchildren. Aren't they beautiful? I think we'll just look at them for a while. I just love my granddaughters. And I have one down in Kentucky that is not pictured here. But these are the two that are here. And last Friday night, we had a great time, a movie night. And oh, it was great. I won't get into that. But I want to show you this picture. Because this little one right here, Danny, her mother, brought her into church and several times over the past couple weeks. But what happens is she runs up the steps and she comes over to my door in my study. Okay? And she stands on her tiptoes and looks in the window. And all I see is those eyes. Like this. And then I go. And she opens the door and she runs in, Papa! And she jumps in my arms. And she hugs me. Oh. And I kiss her. And then she says, Papa. And she starts talking to me. And I thought, oh my. That's like what we do in prayer. We get on our tiptoes and we look into to God's throne room and our eyes are like, wow. And God, you know what God says? Come on. And we run through the door and we say, Abba. And we jump into his arms. And we seek his face. And we talk to God. I'll tell you, that has changed kind of my prayer life over the last couple weeks. You know, if we would view prayer like that, prayer wouldn't be a burden. Prayer would be such a blessing. It wouldn't be hard to pray. It'd be hard getting off our knees, stop and pray. He who seeks will find. Okay, you can go back. Maybe not, no. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Say with me, to him who knocks, it will be opened. It will be opened. And sometimes, though, the door we knock at is not the door it opens. But usually, when we knock, some door opens. Like we prayed for this land over here for 25 years. We walked around, I don't know how many times we walked around that land, Bob. I don't know, 7 times? That's biblical. 7 times we walked around that land. And we prayed, God, give us this land. We need to build a church. And we knocked. And finally, God opened the door on this side and gave us this land. And by the way, the prints are going out for bids on Monday. And hopefully we'll be able to break ground here. Hopefully soon, before I kick the bucket. But God opened this door. He says, knock and it'll be. These are promises. These are promises. This gives us the assurance that our prayers are heard and will be answered. Andrew Murray writes, we may and must most confidently expect an answer to our prayer. Prayer is supposed to have an answer. Prayer and its answer, the child asking and the father confidently giving, belong to each other. Prayer and an answer. Ask, receive. Seek, find. Knock, opened. We should expect answers to prayer. Now, Bill Hybel in his book, I love the title of this book, Too Busy Not to Pray, says God always answers prayer in one of four ways. I think, put these down. Sometimes he says no. No is an answer. That's true. Moses said, Lord, I know what you said, but won't you let me go into the promised land? You know what God said? Enough. No. No, I'm not doing it, Moses. That's enough. Don't ask that anymore. So sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says slow. Slow. Yeah, that's the right prayer, but it's the wrong time. Right prayer, wrong timing. Just give it time. Keep on praying, and I'll answer that prayer. Take it slow. Wait on the Lord. And I'll tell you, waiting time is not wasted time. It's not wasted time. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says slow. Sometimes he says grow. You're praying, and Paul prayed, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. And God said, no, I want you to grow through this, Paul. I want you to learn a lesson. My grace is what? Sufficient for you. You know, tribulation worketh patience, and patience proven character. Count it all joy when various trials come your way, knowing that the testing of your faith bringeth about endurance. So sometimes he says, you know, we're going through something and we pray, and he said, grow. Grow through this. And then the fourth way, and we love this way, he says, go. He says, yep, right prayer, right time. Here's the answer. And we love it when he does that. But God always answers prayer. He answers prayer. This is the promise of God. Let me tell you a couple stories. The story is told of a time when a Scottish preacher prayed in the morning service for rain As he went to church in the afternoon, his little daughter said to him, "Here is the umbrella, Papa. You prayed for rain this morning. Don't you expect God to send rain? Here's the umbrella." And so the man took the umbrella and the little girl to church. And boy, is he glad he had an umbrella. Because when they came home, this umbrella protected them from a drenching rain. Now, here's my question. Are we more like the preacher or the little girl when we pray? When we pray, do we take our umbrella? Do we expect God to answer? Yep. You take your umbrella?
Yep.
Yep. I hope we get more yips out there. Maybe a couple amens. That's a hillbilly amen. Yep. 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 When you pray, do you expect God to answer? Are you like the preacher or like the little girl? Oh my. There was a small town who had always been dry. A man came to town and decided he was going to build a tavern in that town. And there was a church that decided, we don't want that to happen, and we're going to get together and pray. So they started to pray. The tavern was moving along, and it was almost completed. So the church called an all-night prayer meeting. Bob, all-night prayer meeting. And they prayed. Guess what happened? Lightning struck the tavern and it burnt to the ground. And so, the tavern owner brought a lawsuit against the church, claiming they were responsible. The church, the Christians, hired a lawyer claiming they were not responsible. The judge said, who presided over the case, here's what he said. "No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians do not." So I'm going to ask you a question here today. Who are you like? The tavern owner? Or like a lot of Christians that don't believe in answered prayer? Jesus said, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." That's the promises of prayer, a promises of answered prayer. God hears prayer. God answers prayer. Fourth, and I love this, verses 9 through 11, the basis of prayer. And the basis of our prayer is our relationship to God our Father. Jesus brings us out an analogy of an earthly father and his dealings with his sons. Verse 9, he says, "Or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone?" Verse 10, "Or if he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he?" I mean, those two questions have obvious answers. Folks, no decent father, if your child asks you for something, you are going to give them something that's going to be bad or harmful. No dad would do that. And on the other side too, no decent dad, if your child asks for something harmful, will give it to them. So he says in verse 11, if you then being evil, and folks, we are evil. We are sinful. We are fundamentally flawed. But you know what? I want good things for my kids. I do. I think all you parents, you want good things for your kids. But if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, who is infinitely good, wise, gracious, loving, faithful, kind, give what is good to those who what? Ask him. If you mark your Bible, see those three words? How much more? Underline them. Then circle it. Then put brackets around it. Then put quotation marks around it. Put it in red. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you good gifts, good things, if you ask? The Gospel of Luke, Luke 11:13 says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to him who asks? Because that's the greatest gift he can give. To the fullness of the Spirit of God, the nearness of God is our good. And he said, if you ask, I'll give you the greatest thing, the Holy Spirit. Can you say, how much more? Say that. How much more? Say it again. How much more? How much more? I'll tell you what. You being evil know how to give good things to your kids? How much more will your Heavenly Father give you all good things if you ask? If you ask. Now here's the answer to the question. Why? Who are we? Who are we to ask God for anything? Who are we? I'll tell you who we are. We're his kids. We're God's children. That's why we can go and ask. That's why we can stand on our tiptoes and look in. And he says, Papa, Abba. Because he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants to give us good things. But he says, the way they come to you is when you ask. It's kind of, I heard described like this. Some of you may have a safety deposit box in the bank. If you do, you know there's two keys. You have one, usually the bank has the other. And you have to turn both keys for the box to open. Well, God has his goodness and his blessings in that box. And you know what? God's turned the key. Now, what do we have to do? We got to turn the key. We got to pray. And then the box is open. And his goodness flows down to us. How much more? How much more? That's the basis of prayer. Our relationship with God as our Father. And you know what? He wants to bless us. Well, let me tell you a story and we'll be finished. Shortly after Dallas Theological Seminary was founded. Some of you know Dallas Theological Seminary. There's several good seminaries in the country. There's Grace Theological Seminary, Mike, amen? There's Moody Bible Institute and Seminary. There's, of course, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, probably up pretty high up there. But then there's Dallas Theological Seminary. It was founded in 1924, and shortly after it was founded, it came to a point of bankruptcy. All the creditors were going to foreclose at noon on a particular day. That morning, the founders of the school met in the president's office to pray that God would provide. In that prayer meeting sat a man by the name of Harry Ironside. Some of you have commentaries of him. When it was his turn to pray, he prayed in his characteristically refreshing manner. He prayed this: "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some and send us the money." While they were praying, a tall Texan came into the business office and said, "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth, and I've been trying to make a business deal go through, and it won't work. And I feel that God is compelling me to give this money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." And he handed an envelope to the secretary. Now, the secretary knew that they were in prayer and knew what they were praying about, so she ran to the door and she knocked on the door. And finally, someone said, "What? Come in." And she went in and she handed the envelope to Lewis Schaefer. And he opened up the envelope, and the check that was inside was for the exact amount of the debt due. And as he looked at the check, he saw the man's name, and he realized he knew of this guy. He was a cattle rancher. So he turned to Dr. Ironside and he said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Wow! What have we learned today in God's school of prayer, in Christ's school of prayer? We need to pray. It's a command. Prayerlessness is sin. Lord, teach us to pray. We learned that prayer is asking. It's okay to ask. It's right to ask. But it's more than asking. It's seeking God. It's communion with God. I love this. It's standing on my tiptoes and looking into the throne room and my eyes like this and saying, "Can I come in?" And he says, come on. And running to him and just jumping, "Papa, Abba." That's prayer. And God says when we pray, there's going to be answers. That's what he said. I didn't say it. He said it. There's going to be answers to prayer. We need to pray believing we're going to get answers. We don't want to be like the church and say, "Oh, that can't be Peter out there. He's in jail. We're praying for him to get out." We want to get our umbrella, right? When we pray for rain, expect it to rain. Get your umbrella out. Amen. The promise is a prayer. And it's all because He's our Heavenly Father. And He knows how to give good gifts and bless our lives. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for these teachings on prayer. You're challenging me. I know, calling me to pray more, calling us to pray more. And Lord, we just pray again. Teach us to pray. Help us to believe. And Lord, forgive our, we believe, help us with our unbelief, Lord. And we just love just jumping up into your arms, sitting on your lap and just talking to you, God. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.